قال, he said, لن أرسله معكم. Now Yaqub alayhi salam replied, I will never send him with you. I will never send Benjamin with you. And if you see what were the other sons saying to him, number one, they said, وَنَمِيرُ أَهْلَنَا, we will buy more food for our family. Then number two, وَنَحْفَزُ أَخَانَا, we will take good care of our brother. Then number three, وَنَزْدَادُ كَيْلَ بَعِيرٍ, and obtain an extra camel load of grain. And then number four, if you look back, هَذِهِ بِدَاعَتُنَا رُدَّتْ إِلَيْنَا, here is our money returned back to us. Four benefits they are telling. But after the father hearing all this, what is his answer? لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ, I will never send him with you. حَتَّى until تُؤْتُونِ مُوَثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَتَأْتُنَّنِي بِهِ, until you pledge in the name of Allah that you will surely bring him back to me. إِلَّا أَنْ يُحَاتَ بِكُمْ, unless you become helpless. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُ مُوَثِقَهُمْ, and when they had given their pledge, قال الله على ما نقول وكيل, he said, Allah is the witness over the pledge you made. That is, they made a promise now. Now they're going back. And Yaqub alayhi salam is giving some advice as a father. He says, وقال يا بنيا, then he said, my sons, لا تدخلوا من باب واحد, do not enter through one gate. That is, do not enter the capital city of Egypt through one gate. وَادْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَ, enter from different gates. Here, if you see in the present verses, the second visit of the brothers of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, this time accompanied by their brother, younger brother, has been mentioned. And on that occasion, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam had told them to keep in mind that they were 11 of them going there, so they should not enter Egypt collectively from one single gate of the city of their destination. Instead of that, once they have reached the outer wall of the city, they should disperse and enter there from different gates. Now the reason for this advice was his apprehension that all of them were young and mashallah healthy, tall, handsome and impressive. He was concerned about them, lest people find out that they were sons of the same father and brothers to each other. Maybe they are affected by someone's evil eye, which may bring them some harm. Or their coming in all together may make some people envy them, or may even cause some pain to them. Because evil eye truly harms by Allah's decree. And there's another reason why he stopped them from entering from one gate, that these people, they belonged to a village, to a Bedouin environment, and such men, they were mostly tall, broad, they were young, and then they were 11 in number, and together entering, imagine. So people may think, are they coming to attack? There's some thieves, robbers, you know, their appearance or their style was different. So he did not want that they should enter through one gate. So, along with it, giving them advices, he says, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, not that I can avail you aught against Allah. I can advise, but I cannot save you from what Allah has decided for you. So, he entrusted the matter with Allah. And he said, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, this advice is just a precaution because none can accurately judge except Allah. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ, in him do I put my trust. وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ, and in him let all the reliant put their trust. Everyone should trust Allah. This is a good combination between tadbir, planning, and tawakkul, trust. That is, man should do the planning. He should make an effort, be cautious, but then after that, trust Allah, and should not think that my planning will save me, but Allah's being will save me. وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ, when they entered the city as their father had advised them, مَا كَانَ يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, it did not avail them against the will of Allah. Here we come to know that prophets too do not have any such authority or strength, power, so as to save someone, not even their own children. They cannot save anyone. That is why, there it is said, it did not avail them against the will of Allah. And then the loss that Yaqub alayhi salam feared did happen, did take place. إِلَّا حَاجَةً فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَضَاهَا. Of course, Yaqub did his best to avert the fear he had in his heart. You know, we talk about the sixth sense, that feeling that something might happen, and then we get worried, and then sometimes it does happen. So there is some reality in it. That is why Yaqub alayhi salam felt restless, he was uneasy, and he was advising his sons to be careful. But this was not beneficial, despite he was one of ilm. وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ. Indeed, he possessed the knowledge which we had given him. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people do not know. Despite man's planning, whatever Allah wills, eventually it happens. Now, it does not mean that we should stop striving, okay? But man should put in effort, strive, but not to trust his own planning, but trust Allah. And regarding Nazar evil eye, its reality is that it is true. This is Bukhari hadith. Al-Aynun haqqun. Nazar is haqq. The effects of evil eye is true. Narration from Tirmizi. When you like something, you say, Barakallah, and whose evil eye affected you, you ask him to do ghusl, and that water should be put on the person's head and body, the one who is affected. When someone finds some personal excellence or blessing enjoyed by another person appear unusual to him, and there be the danger that he may be affected by the evil eye, then it becomes obligatory wajib on the beholder that he should, after noticing it, say Barakallah, meaning may Allah bless, or he can say Masha Allah, meaning whatever Allah wills, so that the other person remains safe from any possible harm. Should someone notice something unusual about the person or property of somebody else, he should make a dua for him that Allah Ta'ala blesses him with barakat in it. According to some narrations, as I just told you, one should say, Masha Allahu la quwwata illa billah, meaning whatever Allah wills, there is no power but with him. This removes the effect of the evil eye. And also, that should someone become affected by a person's evil eye, the pouring of water used by that person in washing his face, hands and feet in wudu will help eliminate the effect of the evil eye, meaning whose evil eye has affected someone, so he should make wudu, collect the water from wudu in some utensil, and let this water be poured on the body of the one affected by evil eye. As I told you, if you like something, what do you have to read? Barakallah. Or you read Masha Allahu la quwwata illa billah. Also read Surat An-Nas, Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Surat Al-Falaq, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. And then also read, these are the specific duas for Nazar. Allah Ta'ala mentions about evil eye in the Quran, Surat Al-Qalam. Now I'm reading these duas from وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, page 48. The first one that I'm reading, it is from Surat Al-Qalam, verse 51 and 52. وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Translation, and indeed those who disbelieve would almost smite you with their eyes when they hear the reminder, and they say, indeed he is mad, although it is nothing but a reminder. Now if any such thing comes, also you can say, رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. I'll repeat. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. Then another specific dua to ward off the evil eye. It is also in وإياك نستعين page 48. Dua number 2. أعيذك بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وحامة ومن كل عين لامة. I seek protection for you in Allah's perfect words from every devil and every poisonous reptile and every evil eye. This is from Bukhari. Then another dua in the same book. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من غضبه وعقابه وشر عباده ومن همزات الشياطين وأن يحضرون. I seek protection in Allah's perfect words from His anger and His punishment and the evil of His slaves. And the whisperings of the devils, and that they should come near me. This is from Abu Dawud Tirmizi. Also, you read this dua on the one who is affected by the evil eye, and you have to read it 3 times, okay? And this is from Sahih Muslim. I'm reading it from the same book, page 48. You have to read it 3 times, okay? Bismillahi arqika min kulli shay'in yu'zika min shar kulli nafsin aw 'aynin حاسد الله يشفيك بسم الله أرقيك. In the name of Allah, I blow on you from everything that can harm you, from the evil of every soul or jealous eye. May Allah heal you. In the name of Allah, I blow on you. This is from Muslim. It is said once Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ill, and Angel Jibreel alaihi wasallam came to see him, and then he said, "Are you in pain?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes." And then Angel Jibreel read this dua, the one that I just read. And then he did dam. What is dam? To recite and then blow on that person. So he read this dua. Which one? Bismillahi arqika min kulli shay'in uzika min sharri kulli nafsin u'aynin hasidin allahu yashfika bismillahi arqika. Then another dua. Bismillahi arqika wa min kulli shay'in uzika min hasadi hasidin wa min kulli dhi aynin allahu yashfika. Another dua, the same book, page 50. Bismillahi yubrika wa min kulli da'in yashfika wa min sharri hasidin idha hasada wa min sharri kulli zi'aynin. In the name of Allah, may He bless you and cure you of every sickness and the evil of the one who envies, when he envies, and from the evil of every eye. This is from Muslim. Also this dua, Adhib al-ba'sa rabban nasi. واشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. O Lord of mankind, remove the pain and heal. You're the healer. There's no healing except your healing, which leaves no sickness. What is the benefit of this dua? Like, for example, you have small children who are crying. You try to make them stop crying. You give them milk. They don't take milk. They're just crying, huh? So you read this dua. Because you are educated women, no need of going to any peers, or you just read these duas that I told you. They're from this book, which says Invocations for Relief of Pain and Warding off the Evil Eye. Book is وَيَّكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So you can read these duas, if not all, so at least you can read 2 or 3. Like, you can read this dua, وَيُزُكَ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ, that I read. This is وَيَّكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, Dr. Farhat Hashmi. So at least you can read 2 or 3, like this one. You can read dua number 2 on page 48. Uizuka bi kalimati Allahi tammati min kulli shaitani wa hamati wa min kulli ayni lammati. Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read this dua on Hazrat Hussein and Hazrat Hassan. Because with love to the other person can be affected by nazar, okay? It is not that only if someone is jealous or had some bad feelings for the other person in the heart and then the evil eye affects. No. Because of love to someone can be affected by nazar. So read this dua, and especially when you see a newborn baby, when you go to see the baby, or you, for example, holding the baby, so you must read this dua and then blow on the baby, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read it on children. But be careful, okay? Don't read where people think you're chanting some words of magic. What is the summary, okay? Read Masha Allahu la quwwata illa billah. When you look at children, you read this, okay? Also, number 2, you can read Kalma Shahada, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Also read Darood Sharif. Allahumma salli hum. After this, read Surat Al-Fatiha. Also read Ayatul Kursi. Then read Surat Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Then Surat Falaq, Surat Nas. Then read this dua and then blow on children or anyone. Like people say, have you given the permission? So please, there is no such thing. Allah has given the permission to everyone, okay?
This is from Bukhari and Muslim. Hazrat Aisha r.a. narrated, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to seek Allah's refuge from the evil eye. Hazrat Auf bin Malik reported that we practiced incantation in the pre-Islamic days and we said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is your opinion about it? And he said, let me know your incantation. And said, there is no harm in the incantation which does not smack of polytheism, that is, which does not have shirk. This is from Muslim. Because you see, if shaitan or jinn's names are taken and help is sought from other than Allah, so this is not right, this is shirk. Also, Rasulullah ﷺ has told his ummah about taking the preventive measures. For example, I just told you, we are commanded to say Barakallah and Masha Allah. You see, man's eye has effects. The rays that come out of the eyes too have strength, just like the rays of moon or sun or X-rays or ultraviolet rays or the microwave. So they have effects. Sometimes the effect is good and sometimes not. Also, you see, glance can be of love or of hatred, and every type of glance can be felt, although you cannot define it, but you can feel it. The emotions of one's heart or thoughts can be seen through the eyes. Either it is fear or anger or grief or hatred or love. Also, Allah Ta'ala has given different types of power or strength to people. So it is not only the strength of one's hand or strength of speech, but also of vision and also of one's amal deeds. And all these things have effects. Meaning existence of a person changes the whole environment. That is why when mother is at home, so her presence and existence affects the children and her absence gives other feelings. So this is because of the presence of the mother. So her love or her presence, her anger or love affects the whole house. Similarly, if someone is not happy in the house, it affects everyone in the house. So the feelings or emotions play a very important role in our lives. We cannot deny the effects of evil eye, and especially if one finds unusual effects in his being, in his own self, like restlessness. So one can recite and then blow on his own self as well. It's not that you have to go to someone like some predecessor so that he can recite and then blow on you, okay? Although it is true that a predecessor's strength of Iman, it too has effect. But Allah's Kalam, whoever reads, will gain light. Like Rasulullah ﷺ, every night before going to sleep, would read Mu'awwidhatayn, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas, and blow on his hands. And then he would rub his hand all over his body as far as his hands could reach. So this is also a masnoon amal. Anyway, these are all preventive measures, but command or decision is Allah's. We are told to take preventive measures and we should take them. It is just like if someone is sick, so he has to take medicine. But cure is not in the doctor's hand. It is in Allah's hand. If someone thinks that cure is in the doctor's hand, so this is shirk. Cure is with Allah. Also, you can recite and blow on your own self or someone else can do it for you. So cure is not because of that person who recites over you, okay? Or it is not in that, in what you recited, but it is with Allah's permission. It is in Allah's hand. Because like we recite Suratul Fatiha for cure, so what do we read in it? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. So the actual thing is Allah's help and Allah's ibadah. So here Yaqub alayhi salam clearly says that you adopt the preventive measures so that no harm affects you, evil eye does not harm you. But remember, here it comes, verse 67, Surah Yusuf, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, not that I can avail you aught against Allah. وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ, and I cannot avail, I cannot benefit, I cannot help you. وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, not that I can avail you aught against Allah. This is advice. This advice is just a precaution. I can advise you, tell you to take precautions, but I have no power over Allah's decisions. Meaning, it is not that after taking these precautionary measures, you forget Allah, but you too do dua to Allah and trust Allah. That is my advice, and telling you to take these preventive actions should not make you heedless to Allah. My advice can avail you nothing against Allah's decisions. Despite this advice and preventive measures, Allah's order, His decision can come. I cannot help you in any way against the will of Allah. What does this show? It shows that man should always take preventive measures to be safe. But Allah's decision and destiny prevails over everything. Sovereignty belongs to none but Allah. Allah's power is the greatest. Why? Because إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, because none can accurately judge except Allah. His command prevails. And here you see what a prophet is saying. Not my decision, not my command. I'm just giving you some advice and telling you about the preventive measures. I'm just giving you some advice. And that's it. That is, even prophets do not share in Allah's power, Allah's decisions, or His authority. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ, in Him do I put my trust. وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ, and in Him let all the reliant put their trust. Now do you understand what is to take preventive measures and tawakkul, trust in Allah? Because everything is in Allah's hand, okay? We are told to use the lawful and permissible means to try to cure the sickness. But trust in Allah and always think that it is in Allah's hand to give you the cure, okay?
وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.